Musically Meditated.
Yeah, welcome to Musically Meditated. This is episode 11. I want to get on my soapbox for this particular episode. You know, Christmas is around the corner. Everybody's in a good mood, always keeping things positive on this podcast, promoting music that I like, artists I like in the area, so on and so forth. I have to get on my soapbox and state some opinions about an artist that I really liked when I was younger, but I would say in the last 10 years, I've really started to dislike him. And that artist goes by the name of Eminem. About a month ago, early November, he came out with a freestyle. Most people have probably watched it. I didn't particularly care for it. What I didn't like about it was his vocal arrangements, you know, regardless of what he had to say. You know, I don't want
to. It was to me, it was an obvious political statement.
Political stunt.
But a couple weeks later, you said, I need to talk about this. And we decided not to talk about it much, but you saw it as a stunt.
I did.
It wasn't even the content that offended you. What you thought is just the way he did everything and the way he timed it
was to promote his new single.
And it turns out it sort of was.
And it was. And I was correct on it, which is crazy, but I think I have a good nose to sniff that out, you know, if it seems a little false and a little fishy.
Yeah, but would you ever think he'd be a Trump supporter anyways?
No, I don't want to get into that. I'm just saying, what's a safer thing to do to get attention? It's an easy, safe shot to take shots at Trump. Mm-hmm. It's going to get a lot of people's attention, you know, compared to an Eminem that I liked when I was younger, when he was rapping about drugs,
partying,
yeah, and putting his wife in the trunk of his car.
Right.
That wasn't safe.
Right.
That was a true artist, you know.
Rebelling.
And so maybe here, that's what he was doing, but I saw it as fake. And I have a hip hop enthusiast with me. His name's Mike Barth. We've been friends for a long time, and we've always shared the love for hip hop. He's mm-hmm. my guest. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up,
Thank
man?
You.
I'm Thank glad to have you. I like how you just came in. I like how you came in there.
Yeah.
But I did find it a little fake and a little bit staged with that freestyle. And then, you know, the singles dropped. I thought they were garbage. What did you think about the singles?
Yeah, the one with Beyonce, when I heard it, I was kind of like, I really didn't dig. I mean, the message is one thing, but as a fan, music, I don't care.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at is like the flow pattern of what he's doing. It's like this weird back and forth spoken word with no direction.
Right.
And like there's no beat pattern.
Right.
And that's what I really hated about that freestyle, because remember a few years ago he came out with an awesome freestyle with Royce the 5'9 in the background. Remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
He was
in an abandoned church or something. Yeah, he went for a little bit with that one.
That
too.
Was good.
Yeah, that
was good, but it followed this traditional rhythm or rhythmic freestyle pattern, even though there wasn't a beat there. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
And that's what I really hated about this one. Regardless, like I said, put the content and the message to the side. I'm talking about why I disliked it, because he's not following the rules. And it's okay not to follow the rules of a freestyle.
Right.
But I think his ego might be getting him like, I'm going to make my own rules. And I'm going to freestyle this way. And I didn't like it. He was getting dogged, like Tyler, the Creator, had some things to say about him. He had something to say about his new single with Beyonce. And that's what he did with that Walking on Water one.
Right.
He's rapping off beat to like a piano ballad. And I just thought it was garbage. I mean, do you agree?
I kind of liked it. I mean, I could see from the perspective of being a fan and music how the delivery and all that was off and all that stuff. But other than that, I mean, I was like, the message, I guess, he probably didn't care. He just wanted to get the message. Now, political stunt, music business, what it is, promote. But like I said, is he really a fan of Trump anyways? I mean, he's...
Right. But here's the thing. I feel that Eminem has been getting away with a lot of just garbage music for the past decade. And I did some research on this new album of his, and he worked with 9 different producers.
Right.
You know, and I think he's in a position where he's been so successful and he's made so much money to where there's no one there to tell him like that shit sucks.
Yeah. They're like, all yes men.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of yes men and he's in so much control.
No one
will approach him and be like, this shit's whack.
Right.
And this is a perfect example of it. Like this album, like it's just...
Maybe that, or he just doesn't give a fuck and he's doing him.
Right. But...
But it's all opinions. It's to each his own.
To each his own. It's subjective. But for the art and the culture of hip hop, when people are putting him on a pedestal, like he's one of the best ever.
Right.
And he is the best right now.
Right now?
Right. Like that's garbage. Like I mean.
Yeah, that would be different. That's
if we're arguing about how many records he has sold or how many Grammys he's, you know, won throughout the years.
Yeah, like, if you're getting specific about certain
things. He's awesome at that, and it's all this is subjective, and it's all of our opinion, but right. You and I being like hip-hop heads
right.
for our whole life, basically, right. I don't like where he's going with this, and I was really, really happy when Black Thought from The Roots last week came out with this 10-minute freestyle on Hot 97, and...
Totally unrelated, right?
Totally unrelated, but I'm putting it... I'm trying to mesh this together because I was so upset that Eminem's on this pedestal...
Up here, and you don't hear about Black Thought.
No, you don't.
To the main masses. If right. you want to talk about certain things as shining, like, what about this guy? And I right. get what you're saying.
Right.
Eminem being so commercial.
Yeah, everybody's just putting him on this pedestal.
They were saying the same thing when he came out with that diss towards Trump. And then you had YG and who was Nipsey Hussle doing their diss towards Trump. And they're like, how come we didn't get a shine on that? We're talking about the same thing.
Right.
It's because it's...
Eminem.
It's the name, yeah. It's
the name.
It's what... This is what it is. I mean, but behind, I think, curtains and closed doors, people know who's who. They know who's the man. They know who is good, who's really trash.
Back to Black Thought. For those that don't, if you don't know that name, you probably have heard of The Roots.
Right.
If you don't remember that name really quick, you know, The Roots are on Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
So Black Thought is the main MC
right.
during that show.
Right.
And he's been with The Roots for over 20 years.
Yeah, they came out in 93, I think.
93?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from Philadelphia. So that's who Black Thought is. But this freestyle, what I like about it is it sets this bar.
It shows how, to me, an MC, or if you want to say rapper, whatever you want to call him, of greatness, here's how it should be done.
Right.
Here's how it is. If you want to see greatness at its almost best.
Right, right. Like, and I think with Black Thought, too, like we were talking earlier, he's kind of been under the radar, and I don't know if it's because of his voice. You know, because his voice is somewhat monotone,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially on record. And then if you watch this freestyle, it's the same sound,
right.
you know, in comparison to like an Eminem, he's a little bit.
Yeah, his voice can
go
switch
up
it up.
And down
yeah,
and
yeah,
charismatic.
Yeah, well, in characters, yeah.
Right, right. But Black Thought doesn't really do that. But bar for bar, like what freestyling and rhyming's about, like.
Oh,
this
Black Thought, yeah, yeah,
this,
yeah.
This 10-minute freestyle is just...
It's almost something you want to pay attention to.
You have to. You got to watch it like two or three times.
Right, right, because you'll be listening to it, and you're trying to keep up with everything he's saying, because he's going nonstop.
Nonstop.
So later on down, you're like, I got to watch it again, because there was something I heard, and I want to hear it again. I want to catch that.
Yeah.
So even when you sent me the video, I was like, yeah, I already seen some of it, which I liked, but I didn't catch all of it, but... I watched it and I was stuck. I was
just
like,
blown
even
away.
Even when I posted it on Facebook, I put nothing but a bunch of fire emojis because I didn't know what to say. I was like, what am I gonna say? It's good, you know. And so I was just like, hey, if I had to say anything and sum it up as respect, this is what hip hop sounds like, and it's best. Yeah, so
I agree.
It was it was crazy, man. I've been listening actually all day too. I mean, I've always known about him. Respected him. I was never big in The Roots and all that. Of course, like anybody else that doesn't really know who he is, being on Jimmy Fallon, the late night show, I seen him and get to see him more,
right.
In a sense, as mainstream, because being on the radio, this and that, you ain't going to hear him.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But
no.
Seeing him on there, I mean, I always knew who he was, and I'm just like, of course, he's good. And
yeah, he's good. I like to describe his rhymes, especially those bars in that freestyle, like he's strong. You know, like every bar, like the way he flows and the way he raps is like a dude maxing out on bench.
Aggressive.
You know, it's aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's putting an extra plate on each side when he's squatting
or doing
extra reps.
Yeah,
like
it's almost like he's flexing at the, you know,
at the mic.
He's eating a mic.
He's
like
just
killing
it.
That's why the one on the Sway in the Morning with Method Man, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting there watching it, and even Method Man was like, yo, I got to dig in my phone because going with dude right here, like coming after him, like, this is new stuff that I got. But I mean, Black Thought didn't have to do that. He just,
right.
They're like, yo, this is off the top. Like, hey, you take note.
Right. Shretton, what was your first opinion when you watched it? Because I remember I sent you the link.
I thought it was awesome. It was crazy timing when you sent it to me because I've been listening to So at the end of the year, a lot of improv podcasts, a lot of comedy podcasts, they do a thing, and it just happens to be this way. What they do is they do their whole scenario thing that different games that improv people do, but they do a lot of freestyle stuff. And as brilliant as some of these people are, the majority of them are a joke when it comes to freestyling. So I when you sent it to me, I had just come from listening to this one dude he created a character, and this character talks only in rhyme. And they were goofing on him on the show because he couldn't pull it off.
Okay.
And then they also there's other bits that these dudes do where it's just bad freestyle. And so they use the same beat when they tell people to freestyle, and it's some shit they made up years ago and whatever. So I listen to that, and then you send me that link, and then I'm driving in my car, and I was like, I mean, come on, man. Like, I can't even, I think I sent it to you and I messed up the text. This is how good he is. I sent you a text to say, this man raps. He freestyles better than I speak in my normal out loud sentence forming way of speaking to other humans. This dude is rhyming, just rhyming out of his, from the mind to the mouth, immediate, mm-hmm. rhyming better than I can speak normal. And somebody asked me like, hey man, how do you get to the library? I will fumble my words, and this dude was just spitting things out to a perfect beat. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was awesome.
It was awesome. I guess that beat was like an old Mobb Deep beat.
I'm sure if you gave him any beat, he'd go crazy. Another thing that I thought about afterwards when you sent me that thing was the fact that a lot of, like you termed it, but it's not, you know, a lot of people say it, like hip-hop heads, fans of hip-hop know about the Roots. And most of them are crazy about the Roots because of their actual musical content, but also because they notoriously put out amazing live shows, because it's not just a track and you rap over it. It's a bunch of dudes with instruments playing. So a lot of these, like, for example, I talk about him often. My brother, he's seen the Roots a handful of times, and he goes crazy because they just put on this amazing, amazing live show. What's crazy is, if you're not a hip-hop head, you don't know.
Right.
You don't. Not only don't you know, most people don't know that these crazy talented musicians and next-level hip-hop artists are on Jimmy Fallon every night.
I know. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because Mike and I were talking about this today. Not only is his freestyle so impressive, it's his breathing techniques, right? Because he's coming at you that entire 10-minute freestyle at the same pitch, the same tone. And watch him, when you're watching this, watch him breathe, because he has to breathe a certain way in between every verse. And Mike brought this up. It was in an interview, right? The Roots, the band, being an actual band, back in the day, they would tour like a band, you know, 200 shows a year. And he would do these breathing weight exercises. How did that go, Mike? Like, what would he do again? Like, do you remember the specifics?
I guess anything, type of weights on his chest.
That's right, yeah.
And start rhyming, spitting. It's almost like building muscle.
Building muscle,
like
in your
working
lungs.
Out, but you're working out your lungs,
and that's what he would do. So he would put weights on his chest back then, just so he could keep up.
Yeah,
like I said, with the shows, and now here he is in his 40s, and he's just doing it.
It's like building up
flex.
Your wind, dude. It's like
he's like flexing.
When he's spitting, it's almost like it's running. It's just non-stop. And if you're good with the tempo, you're gonna keep going.
Like a good tempo when you're running the mile.
Yeah, and you're feeling good. You still keep going.
It reminds me of you know when they talk about chess masters? I know this is a little hyperbolic, but like like the chess masters, and they talk about some of these dudes, you open a game and you do two moves and that other guy already knows he won. You only did two moves. You can watch him and you know that he's actually very relaxed because he knows what he's gonna say 30 seconds, 40 seconds from
ahead.
Yep. What he's saying right now, that's awesome. I've gone on like drunken spiels before where I know like where I'm going to be at in 20 minutes if the person I'm like yelling at is willing to listen to me scream in their face.
I can't say I've ever done that, but go ahead.
You know, athletes talk about the zone.
Yeah.
That like that zone. And if everybody's
the play in their head, they're like, I already know I'm going.
And it comes with practice. It comes with working out. It comes with repetition of that craft. It just, It was just awesome.
Yeah, he's just the beast at the top of his game, and I'm glad that he did that to be put on that pedestal, like you're saying, Eminem's on, but like almost to a commercial.
But it goes to for the pedestal, because it goes to show, like, when you talk about freestyle, like, this is what it's about.
Yeah.
You got these guys that come on here, and yeah, I mean, some look at their phone, some already got stuff that's written. Because I think about it all the time when I see stuff, I'm like, you know, you see a cipher, I'm like, but that's technically not really freestyling. That's, you guys are just kind of spitting around the way. Whatever. I'm just like, to me, I was like, if you can grab stuff out of where you're at and start spitting, that's freestyle. Like, whatever's around you, just start grabbing stuff, or it doesn't even matter, dude. It was just, it was crazy. I was just like, wow.
It was crazy impressive, because I had some other ideas for this particular episode, but then that came out, and I was feeling a certain way about Eminem, and like you asked, Rhett, and like, well, what does this have, how is this together? And it's just like, well, it's together in my head, because Eminem's put on this pedestal, and he's not even like a smidgen or a smudge of the quality of rapper is Black Thought. That's just my opinion. What do you think, Mike? I'm wrong?
Kind of. Okay. I think he's great. I've seen stuff prior, you know, on other shows he's been on and whatnot before. I mean, as coming up as he was blowing up, and like I said, his version was a freestyle. I don't know how long. It probably wasn't as long as.
Are you talking Eminem right now?
Yeah. It wasn't as long as the Black Thought. It was good, but the Black Thought, how long it is?
Yeah, the length is impressive.
It didn't stop. It just kept going.
You know,
it wasn't like he took a breather and was like,
you're right.
It was like
just.
like he,
it's like throwing a bunch of potatoes at the wall for a long time.
It was, he didn't have to stop.
Who does that?
I don't know. I don't know. We're like rocks, man. Like steadily, they're just shooting a machine gun for him.
Yeah, well,
he wasn't stopping.
Yeah,
no, it was impressive. Yeah, I was really, really impressed.
Did his thing, man. Yeah.
What do you? I wanted to ask you this, Joe. The whole thing with Eminem. I'm actually kind of excited, because I used to be a fan of Eminem too. Certain parts of his raps, the way he rapped was awesome. The stuff that he said, the weird ways he would deliver things and find a delivery on a beat that was just a little bit original. To me, he has fallen off. I agree with you on every level that he doesn't seem to be as good as he was, but I don't see it as a fault. What I'm excited about is all these people jumping on him. I'm sort of excited about the fact that people are calling him out and giving him a little negativity. He has gone through some stuff, loss of friends, an opioid addiction, like all this stuff.
Yeah, but that was like 10 years ago.
That stuff lingers.
All right. Yeah, but I don't want to use...
I get it.
Okay, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
But what I was going to say was, I hope everybody attacks him, because I want to see his reaction. I feel like his reaction is going to be awesome, where you go, oh, there he is.
Right.
Oh, that's the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's what I'm actually rooting for. Because, I mean, we live in a world where you mess up, or there's a perception of messing up, or whatever you want to say it. You get, it's not even like one or two people to criticize you. It ends up being 10 and then 100 people and then 1,000 people. And then there's whole websites that have charts dedicated to 1,000 people that can vote on how big of a dickhead you are.
Right.
Like.
That's a good one.
I'm like excited, because when he retaliates... And I think when he retaliates, the people that criticize him are going to be like...
That's where he's best.
Like, I hope...
That's where he was always a battle rapper. So, I mean, the disrespectful, all that to... All right, I got you.
Yeah, well, good. Show.
I want him.
Show me.
And that's the thing. Why he's doing...
What have you done for me lately? It's like sports, you
right.
know?
And that's the thing. It's like, why is he doing what he's doing now? But then again, how much can you demand out of somebody... doing something that they've already achieved so much greatness out of.
Shretton's brought that up before.
Every time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's, I mean,
what does he really have to prove? It's
right. I mean, whatever he's doing, you can't doubt that he's done work. Not only that, underground stuff, there's probably stuff we haven't even heard that he's...
Right. I'm just saying, he's on a huge pedestal, and I don't think it's worth... I don't think he's
right, and that's
it.
Your opinion, and right, that's what's right. awesome about that. Right. I think the same thing about certain other artists and whatnot, and I'm just like...
Like, give me an example.
Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's almost like a lot of people that I talk to, at least my age, could say almost the same thing. There's a few that's probably like, nah, but he's got this. Younger, yeah. Because I think ever since after Lil Wayne came out, everybody like, that's at least younger than me, I'm 35, swear like he's like one of the, I'm like, nah, like he's not. Nah, he's really not. Like, because if you really listen, he's never really made a authentic song. No, but nah, with the Eminem,
back to that.
But I agree on the sense of the quality of music to want to listen to it. Now, if you love Eminem, you're not gonna, I mean, you have your opinion, but you're gonna say I like it.
Well, that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up, because my cousin Ian, you know, he grew up in Michigan. You've probably met him before.
Right.
Huge Eminem fan, okay. Always has been. And he came here mm-hmm. for the holidays mm-hmm. for Thanksgiving. And I brought it up. I'm like, dude, those new two singles, they're garbage. And he's like, I like them. Like, I'm like, and then everything I said about, I don't like how he's trying to make his own, like he liked the freestyle too. I'm like, I don't like how he's trying to do his own thing with the freestyle structure of rhyming. Right. And Ian was like, that's what I like about it. He's trying to do his own thing. He's switching it up. I'm like, okay, like,
yeah,
we agree to disagree, but he told me this album just came out this week. He's like, dude, it's garbage. He's like, there's two good songs at the end. I'm like, damn. And so if he's saying it,
you know,
and then I go online and Pitchfork hates it. Anthony Fantano from The Needle Drop, like, everybody should watch his review on it.
Like I said,
it's hilarious.
I listened to a few.
They already have memes and shit, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I listened to a few and I was like, there was a few I was like, okay. And then there were some that I was just like, But I mean, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I can see how people are like, this ain't it. This is.
For how many millions he's spending on it for the production? Just like he rehashed Zombie by Cranberries.
Yeah. That's what it was.
He's ruining good 90s songs.
That's what it was. I was listening to it and I was like, where is this from? And I'm like, okay. And then I was like,
It wasn't good?
No.
I love that song.
I know. He ruined it.
I love the Cranberries.
I know. I like the Cranberries
did a tiny desk after the lead singer like went through, I don't know, she had a nervous breakdown. She had a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, they're from Ireland, man.
And she came back. Yeah, she came back and did a tiny desk. And it was, I was like, hell yeah. It was good.
Yeah, he ruined that song.
So it wasn't, oh.
So just,
well, that's on his opinion. You have to listen to it, though.
Yeah.
Because if you're a fan of that, I mean, he might
sing like
different.
It.
Yeah, he might be like,
wait a minute. But the production on his vocals on the whole album, like, he's just real nasally. And
yeah, that's another thing. Yeah.
Hasn't
he always been kind of, that's
yeah,
kind of
but
his voice?
Lately,
yeah.
It's been like that.
Yeah.
Even, what was it, Refill, what was the album with the pills all over it that made that
Rehab or Re? Yeah, it was Rehab or Refill.
Refill, I think.
Okay.
Or Relapse, whatever.
Yeah.
And that, after so many albums of him just being normal spitting with the harsh voice, it was almost like he went to different characters he was trying to do. Because that album, he had some like dark, grimy, like almost Halloween type song, to me at least, because he's talking about almost being a Hannibal Lecter type of dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then recently, again, switching up, I'm like, it was almost the
pick
word.
A style for one song.
Yeah, was. His words were just being, you know, word for word, simple.
Yeah,
nothing with the rhythm in his voice. I guess that's how I seen it. I don't know.
And Anthony Fantano on The Needle Drop on his review, he goes over some of the rhymes that he's spitting on this, and they're ridiculous. Like they're bad. Like just the wordplay and what he's. I don't remember him verbatim, you know. But
did he?
It's bad.
Did he rhyme ass with grass?
Yeah, like shit like that, like Cat in the Hat type rhymes.
Cat
like it's awful. It's just sad because I liked him.
It's not that lot. Eminem that you like.
Right. Well,
it's just,
you know what, too? We talked about this. Ever since he started to sing his own choruses and do a lot of his own production, like whenever Dre left, that's when he started to fall off, in my opinion. And that's around the Eminem show. That's his third album. Like that's when I was kind of like, and now he does it all the time. And like we were talking too, what's that super group that he put out? The hip hop group?
Slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse had Joe Budden, Joel Ortiz, Crooked Eye.
And that's it, I think. Yellow Wolf is.
No, it wasn't Yellow. It was Royce the 5'9".
Oh, then that there it is right there. Royce the 5'9", Joel Ortiz, Joe Budden.
And Crooked Eye.
Crooked Eye, there you go, yeah.
And I was really excited. This is a true story. I was really excited for it because I like all those MCs.
Right.
I went and I don't know how long ago it was, it doesn't matter, but I went and I actually bought the CD or I saw it at like Best Buy for sale and I put it in and it was so bad I threw it out my window. I swear, that's how bad it was. Like, God, this is awful. And then same with Yellow Wolf. He finds Yellow Wolf. Yellow Wolf's first mixtape, Trunk Music, was quality.
Right.
And then he came out with his actual album that Eminem produced and it was on, I don't remember the name, was it Radioactive or something?
Something like, yeah.
I think it was Radioactive.
Yeah.
And it was garbage. So it's like everything Eminem touches and puts on shady records, it sucks. Like, I mean, that's just my opinion. It's like, how could you mess up a super group like that? And there he is singing the choruses. Like, I just don't, I hate his approach to music. I hate it.
When did his last album come out?
Well, last Has week, but before that.
Before that, yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to look it up.
Recovery?
Yeah, it kind of looked like, was it Marshall Mathers?
If you had to guess, two? How many years ago would you guess?
Oh, it wasn't that long.
Yeah.
I mean, within the last two to three years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it kind of looked like the second album cover. I don't know. Right? Like it had a house or something on it.
That was Marshall Mathers two or number 2.0.
Was it?
Yeah, but then after that, wasn't it?
Here, I'm going to look it up real quick. I mean, it wasn't good.
Because I feel like, I feel like slowly maybe the critics say that his stuff has fallen off a little bit every new album. Do you agree, Mike?
Yeah. Oh. But with that album that we're talking about, the Marshall Mathers 2, when I first heard about it, people talking about that, but then I listened to it a few times, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, my cousin liked it. Like, he had a lot of good cameos on there. Like, wasn't Kendrick on there?
Yeah, and yeah.
He had Gangsta. I think he had Gangsta Boo and... Yeah, there was a track. It was Gangsta Boo and Yellow Wolf together. It was really
good.
Holy
cow.
And it was Eminem.
Gangsta Boo.
That was on Yellow Wolf's album, the Radioactive one. It was Eminem, Gangsta Boo, and Yellow Wolf.
Wow.
I love Gangsta Boo. She was on Run the Jewels, too.
Was she really?
Yeah. Yeah. She was on Run the Jewels. She spat some nasty stuff.
She's always been nasty.
Always been nasty.
How does she rank with your girl Cardi B?
Ooh, you want to get? I was gonna. That was all right. Let's get into that. All that's right. gonna be one of my all first right. questions all for right. Mike over here.
I'm an unintentional master of transitions.
You are. You must. Have you been meditating a lot lately?
Yes.
That's what I like to hear. Yeah. So my first question. So have I. So have I. Yeah. But my first question. Yeah. What's your opinion on Cardi B?
She's good. She's hot. Yeah. They make her look like a Nicki Minaj double. But I've seen the interviews. I've seen how she talks and whatnot.
Her interviews are a little bit annoying, aren't they?
Well,
she kind of annoys me with the
kind
interviews.
Of, but
I don't know why. But
to me, trying to find, I don't know, maybe the good in people or even just the realness.
Mm-hmm.
She talks, she came out as real as she can, talking about even the industry and everything and how. She's just trying to do her and where she came from. I guess what she was a stripper.
She was a stripper from what part? What borough of New York is she from?
Oh,
you remember?
Shit, I don't know.
Is she from Brooklyn or? She's a New York girl. Don't
Bronx.
Remember. Bronx.
I want to say
think,
maybe.
I think she's from the Bronx. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, because she's what nationality is she?
I think she's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, so then she had to come from the Bronx. Okay. Yeah.
Jenny did.
Jenny's
yeah,
well, from the Bronx. Man, she looks good,
to
too.
She's, no. from the, yeah, she's from the block.
She is from the block.
Yeah, she, when I seen her first, and I don't know what song it was, but it was before, which, not to disrespect her, but before she got her teeth done, because before her...
she had some bad twofers?
Yeah, she did. I remember, I don't know what song it was.
The like record company took care of that real
well,
quick, didn't
yeah,
it?
Well, actually, she did. She
knock
did,
all those out, put new ones
she
in.
She actually did a song or something... about her dentist that fixed her teeth.
That's keeping it real.
Yeah, she did. I swear to God. And I was like, wow. But she, I don't know what song it was, but she was talking about something. And I was kind of like, I was like, yeah, she's hot and everything. But I don't know, just what the rhyming about this and that. I'm like, but the more she has become and interviews I have been seeing, I do like her.
Skill level, though. You like her as an MC? I do.
I don't know, dude. Like, it kind of sounds like some of the times when she's rapping, like, is it written for her? Is she really? Because I don't. She's not really an MC.
You're trying to say she isn't the sharpest tool in the shed,
right? I think because I've heard some stuff and it sounds like she's kind of lacking when she's rhyming.
So you think she has helped to create her?
Yeah. Yes,
and
I do.
Written verses,
which
which is a whole nother debatable topic,
right? But the thing is, I don't think she's. But that's the thing. Until you claim to be something. Then that's when you can talk about, wait a minute. Now, with her, I don't think she's ever claimed to be I'm this and that with rapping. I'm the best. She's just making music. So if it is helping, then that's fine. Because, I mean, I've heard it, and I was like, it sounds like you're it's been set up a little bit. But if you like it, then if you improve, then, hey, you might be good. But right now, I'm just like, I just think, hey, she got into this. She's like, I can make money like this. Yeah. Hey, do your thing.
I think she's given Nicki Minaj a run for a month.
Right. I think there will be competition with that. Not only, I mean, basically look at her. She's almost the way they look. Yeah. I mean, Nicki Minaj is, she's, to me, I like her.
I think
she's real good.
I think she's a great rapper.
Yes, I think she's real good.
I agree with you.
Yeah, this and that. All the other controversy, correct, whatever, I don't care. But with that, yeah, so it's like, I don't know, see what
but
happens.
She might, unfortunately, fall underneath Nicki Minaj's umbrella for the rest of her career, you know.
Yeah, because
they look so similar.
Right,
Their flow. See, that's what I like about Cardi B. Her flow isn't necessarily similar.
Because
it's got that New York.
Because she has
Latina,
that.
Yes, you know,
she has
Puerto
that,
Rican vibe.
Yes, she has that lingo.
Yeah,
she's
she
got
does.
That. Now, Nicki Minaj has that lingo, but she's not Puerto Rican.
Right.
But with
Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah. I mean, she's got that Latin lingo, and it's like, yo, like.
It works.
It works. It does work. You know what I'm saying? Like, when she talks, like, honestly, like, some people might say it's annoying, but when she, I've seen interviews, this and that, when she talks or jokes around, and I think it's cute sometimes, or it's kind of hot. I'm like, oh, snap.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, it's like, I don't, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
To see what happens.
With the female in hip hop, because, I don't know.
Well, she was on that Migos song, is one of the biggest songs in the world right now.
I know, but I can't stand that.
Yeah, we talked about that. I don't remember what episode it was, but I brought up that Migos. It's Migos, Cardi B, and remember?
Yeah.
What's her name? I'm drawing a blank right now. Nicki Minaj.
The Migos part of it
is annoying and awful.
Is rough. I don't know how that's the thing, but the other two dudes, or the other two chicks, but the women that rap. Man, they're great.
They're good. They are good.
Zeno, it's not locked.
I don't know. Hey, Mike.
Sorry. Let's pause it real quick.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. What's up, dude? Like, does it matter if it's already written? Does it matter if
no,
Cardi
because
B's rhymes are
written? I mean, to me, it just, I don't think she's ever, because before that, she was never, I've never heard of her being a spitter, being a, you know, coming up this now, this
right.
This person right here, this and that, you know, so it's like, hey, she's doing her thing. Nowadays, it's what it is. I mean, people just jump into this. And that's what sucks about the music now is almost, and I hate, it sucks because it's like hip-hop now. Anybody can do it. It's almost like, it's like, man, like, dude.
Like SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah,
and all
it's
this.
Like, man, like, some of you guys need to get your own lane and call your own thing because, oh, man, I don't know, dude. It just sounds like it's just putting a bad thing on it.
Yeah, but with I don't know, with Cardi B, what I found really impressive was, I don't know if I mentioned this on a past episode, but being at the bar, at the club,
mm-hmm.
Bodak Yellow came out.
Right, right, right.
And that's her song.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen the crowd react, you
to
know,
something?
Like, to something like that. In a positive way. Now, a lot of the girls were like,
right now, I'll let you have that because recent. Now that I've heard the song and I've been in the bars, whatever, and blah blah, blah, and it came on, and
the whole mood changes.
Right. And the thing was, I only heard it a few times, even out here. And I'm sitting in the bar, we're chilling, we're hanging out, and it comes on. Even the friends, the guys,
yeah,
are rapping
it.
And
too.
I'm like, looking over, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying?
So then all of a sudden you started doing too.
Well, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to catch it because I heard it and I didn't, it wasn't like a big thing to me. I was like, okay, it sounded all right. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. When the delivery and the way she sounds, it was almost, you know, this is putting together. We're putting this person together.
Mm-hmm.
But I can not knock her because I've never heard this person claim to be anything of good or great.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, it's a hustle. A lot of people that ain't got skill are doing this.
But I haven't seen a crowd or a bar or a club
react to
like that
a certain single.
Since 50 Cent in the club. That's what I remember. I mean, that I didn't really care for that song back in the day.
Right.
But when everyone knew it, every guy, every girl.
Well, you hear people, oh.
And then everybody started rapping.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah, I get it.
It made an impression. I was like, wow, this is pretty. No,
and she has. Well, because being a female, there's not, I mean, obviously, look, it's more guys than girls.
Right. In hip-hop especially.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, girls are, hey, I'm bossing up, this and that. You know, I mean, girls are, you know, doing their thing. It's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
Listen to what she's talking about. It's like, yeah, and the girls love it. I mean, that's always been a thing with music, though. I mean, it's almost like if the women love it, everybody's almost guys are gonna pay attention,
right?
Because they want to be where the girls are at.
But guys like ourselves, we know good hip hop, and she is a good MC, and so
right,
is Nicki
Minaj. Like
she's
yeah,
good, and women know too. But you know what I mean? Like we've been listening to the genre forever, and she could spit.
Yes,
she's good.
I would say okay,
Yes, and she does sound good. I just, I'm just saying this on the delivery almost, because she's still new to me, or at least to me, she's still new. Yeah, I mean, she could be good. She can be awesome. She can be like, that's what's gonna come. Heads up, like,
yeah. Uh-oh. Are you an artist or not? Because I went on Spotify and I was looking for albums, and I think everything they have on there is just like a mixtape. So her being an artist, like putting together a package and with a bow tie on it, like, this is my album.
Right.
Like, we'll see.
It, but that's like not to get off, but with like the Game. The Game was the same way. He got into the rap game with whatever he had, and he was not even in that long. It was only because he always loved it, but he was like, yo, I'm gonna try this hustle.
Okay.
And look at him now.
Yeah.
Dude. And this could be her, because he never claimed, when he got in, he never claimed anything. He never claimed to be nothing. He just looked up to everybody, gave respect to everybody. He's in the game. I love him. I think he's one of
the... That's going to bring me in my other question for you. Who's your favorite rapper right now?
Well, I mean, if I had to say now to a point where people are paying attention, and at least mainstream, you know the name? Yeah, The Game.
You're a big Game fan.
Yeah, to the battle raps, everything. I mean, it's nothing to do with all the gang culture and all that. It's just his personality when he comes to spitting. It's like... He's got bars, and he's blunt with it. It's like he's just blunt with it. He's got metaphors, but he don't really rely on metaphors. He goes straight to the point.
Yeah.
He goes straight to the juggle. He goes straight to whatever it is about you. He's going to, and it just rhymes it, and it's like, it's gangsta.
My favorite thing by him, my cousin Ian, once again, he showed it to me. It was maybe on a mixtape, but it was called 300 Bars and Running, like 100 Miles and Running by NWA. Yeah,
and that's what he did it.
300 Bars and Running. It's awesome.
It's very...
It's 300 bars.
A man after Joe's heart. Dude, NWA reference.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, he's...
Well, we could talk... Mike and I could talk NWA for four more hours.
That's much, where we, I guess...
That's where we bro up.
Yeah, it is.
That's where you guys high five.
That's where our bro shit...
Yeah, that's where it started.
That's where it kindles.
Yeah, dude.
That's where it sparkles.
And that's what I think about the Cardi B thing, like... whatever, because, all right, Game, yeah, he's in the streets doing his thing, blah, blah, but he was just like, yo, after his incident getting shot, this and that, he always liked the rap, let me try it. Cardi B, same thing, whatever she was doing before, you said, what, stripping?
Yeah, she was
okay,
a stripper.
Then right after that, she was probably looking for an outlet, just like anybody else. But you know when it comes and you hear, at least I know, put it this way, when I see an interview with certain artists, I know if they're going to be, if it's like genuine, you know what I'm saying? At least to me, because when they talk about certain real stuff, it's like, yo, they're genuine. They're trying to be and doing what they do. So with Cardi B, I think it's the same thing, because I've heard people in the hip hop game, in a sense of the interviews, give her praise, like the old heads, give her praise. Like they're like, yo, I like her. She could, because she could be better. She can be, if she keeps doing it, she can be one of the good ones. Same like Game. So we'll see what's up.
I'm gonna get you a Game T-shirt for Christmas.
God,
what size do you wear?
So if it's not, do you guys consider The Game mainstream?
Yeah,
because I haven't heard that name in a while. But yeah, I'm out of the.
I think he came out with an album this year. I haven't listened to it yet. It was either this year or last year. He has new material.
Yeah, he.
So do you have a personal, Mike? Do you have a personal my favorite? I sit in the car and this is the person that I listen to, because this is the person I listen to.
And what's your favorite game song?
Is it The Game? And also, what's your favorite game song?
Dude,
a lot of pressure.
Yeah, right. Between him and Crazy Bone.
Damn.
Yeah, because with the Bone thing, he was always just Crazy. It was just crazy. It was. Just,
is he still putting out stuff?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. Him and Busy just put out an album called New Waves.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're. Actually, even with the music that they have, it's kind of in a new genre. But back to this question, if I'm driving, I'm just chilling, I'm just going wherever. Yeah, I think I'm putting on a Game. And
what Game song?
Okay, put it this way: not a Game song, but the album I'm putting on.
Yeah,
is his second one, Doctor's Advocate.
Okay,
dude, it's just phenomenal, from the beats to how he's spitting and everything. And it's funny because the first time I heard that album, they were playing it on. I forgot what radio station, obviously 92.3 maybe. I think it was 92.3.
The Beat.
Yeah. And they were like, when they were listening to it, like, yo, like he, if you really pay attention to how he's rapping and spinning, his voice is almost like Dr. Dre's on that one.
Yeah.
But not only
he
that.
He had that, you know, like, dude,
he's just, that album right there, yeah, I can say The Game, man, because Game, he's just, I don't know, man. I've always liked the West Coast, the gangsta stuff, but he's an MC that's gangsta. To me, he's an MC that's gangsta. Yeah, Eazy was.
Yeah.
But Eazy was never an MC. He was just a gangsta.
Right.
But he went to MC. But I loved him because how he, his mentality when he came out on his songs is how I would feel. And I'd be like, yo, like, I mean, I couldn't relate to it, but energetic wise, I'm like, the way he was, the way he came off, I'm like, yo, like,
yeah, he was genuine,
dude. Yeah, and it was just, and his voice, his energy, yeah. just the way he came off and would snap about stuff. I'm like, that's it. That's what I like about him. That's why I like Game's the same way.
You know what I always liked about Game? He started off with G-Unit and 50.
Right.
But then he made his own lane. Like, he didn't double cross him, but like 50 always wanted to be the man, and Game's right. Like, no, I'll be my own person. He went his own way, and I always respected that about
the Game. And that's another thing, dude.
Always. Like no, you're not going to tell me what to do,
right,
dude.
And that's what I love about it, because the same guys with Tony Ayo, G-Unit. Lloyd Banks. Yeah. Now, with the whole thing with these guys in G-Unit and all that, it played the way it did because, I mean, Game's a phenomenal artist. I think he's better than 50. I don't care. I mean, people can say what they want. Almost to a point, and I mean, I even hate to bring it up with the Ja Rule thing, but a lot of people, we debate, and I'm like, honestly, like, to me, I thought Ja Rule was a better, if there had to be a rap battle, I think he, honestly, to me, I think Ja Rule, just because 50, to me, is a image, a gimmick. Yeah, now, can he rap? Can he rap? Probably.
Right.
But his group is the one that probably wrote a lot of stuff.
Right. Now, how genuine the Game was or is to you is the same. I don't know if this makes sense. How Easy is.
Nah.
So with this question, I'm gonna revert back to Easy, because we've always liked him and we always talk about him. What do you think Easy would be doing right now if he was alive?
I think he would have his hand in just about anything making money, dude. I mean, from movies, I think, to how Dre did beats. I mean, they could have been back together doing that.
Remember, he had a video game.
Yeah, I remember that. I've never seen it, though.
Like, well, it was on...
That was on the...
that DVD.
That was on Impact of a Legend.
Yeah, I had that.
But that was for the computer.
And they said that... I don't quote me on this, but what's that one where you go around San Andreas or...
San Andreas, yes.
Yeah.
The gangster one.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto.
That off.
San Andreas.
Yeah, they ripped that off of Eazy-E's game. Driving in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Eazy would have stayed alive, like, he was already messing around with the video games. It
would have been all over. And it's funny because MC8 did his voice in the video game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. But I could see Eazy-E, like, he would have been big in the video games, just as an example, because that's something he was getting into. So.
You know what? You know what's funny, too? He skateboarded. I'm not saying he'd be a skateboarder, but I bet you he would have his hand. I mean, look at Lil Wayne. Doing all his music, and all of a sudden, he branches off into being a skateboarder.
Yeah, that backpack rapper.
Right.
Right.
And that's a lot of his fans come from, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I think Easy would have dwelled into something like that. I'm not saying he's going to be skateboarding, but I bet you he would have his hand into merchandising, clothing, to the skateboards.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, dude, he
was a genius, man. He was a businessman.
He was all about making money.
Yeah.
Which, to that point, kind of sucked and bit him in the ass, because I think with that came the breakup of the group. Now, I'm not saying totally, but he probably had his, because, you know, him and Jerry probably took care of Easy more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So Easy having all these kids and doing whatever, he was probably like, yo, like,
I need to make money.
He probably came a little greedy. Was like, you know, I mean, you guys are my boys. You understand it's all good. I'm hooking everybody up. Give it time. And a lot of people say, well, Cube jumped the gun. It was too early, but as a person, you recognize, like...
Yeah, back in reference to NWA breaking up.
But, yeah, it's like people recognize when stuff ain't going right. So I think even after they even showed in the movie when, you know, Dre and Cube tried to warn me, I'm like, he really didn't see it. Like, damn, this is really breaking us up. All right, fuck Jerry and fuck all the money shit. All, you know, because Jerry's telling me you better, you know, care about the money. I don't care about the money.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, and that's the thing. When it comes to money, it's just...
I really think if Easy, if he didn't pass away, NWA would have came back together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then,
but then
we would be able to see him now live, which would have been really cool. So I think the whole NWA thing, they would have buried their beef. Like, Dre and him would have buried their beef together. And same with Cube. I really think the NWA thing would happen.
But I think the only way for that to happen was that something would have, instead of Easy passing, like, something would have had to happen to Suge. Which you always heard the thing about him saying, hey, I'm going to take this dude out. Yeah. In the movie, it shows it, and that's real.
Come on, what else do you think Easy would be into besides skating?
Porn?
That was Yella. Yella was doing porn.
Yeah, he did do porn.
Yella said Easy called him.
When he was in the hospital.
Yeah, when he was in the hospital, he found out he had AIDS. Yeah. And he's
to let him know, he was at Easy's house doing the
porn video.
Yeah, porn. He starred in porn?
He didn't star. He was the director.
No, I think he...
Easy would have starred in porn?
Not saying Easy would have starred in porn. I don't know. Maybe he would have.
Are you saying directing?
You know what he probably would have done? He probably would have made condoms.
Easy E condoms.
Yeah, Easy condoms.
Wow, that's ironic.
Well, I'm just saying.
Bada bing.
I'm just saying, right?
No, yeah, well, he should have wore them.
Well, yeah.
But I like the whole what if. If he were still alive, I feel he would still be relevant.
For sure.
And I know, like, going back to episode 4 when I had Kyle Norris on, Kyle was, like, kind of putting him on a Flavor Flav.
Yeah,
level, like as a slapstick, and I'm like, nah, I don't agree.
Right. He did the thing that I talk about that Kyle brought up. He brought up a really good point with the genre of hip hop and the longevity of a hip hop artist. If you're in your late teens and then your early 20s, that's an ideal time to pop off. Especially if you come from a low income neighborhood and you have talent and all this stuff. That's like the recipe.
Okay.
And then you get big.
Right.
And then you're big through your 20s, so you do all this messing up, and then you try to be in your 30s. And what Kyle was talking about, like, what do you talk about when, like, say somebody like Jay-Z, somebody, he's...
Like I'm dogging Eminem earlier. Like,
right. If he's not, and both of those guys, if they're not, like, I don't know how old Jay-Z is. Do you guys know how old he is?
40-something.
Well, Black Thought has no
he's
problem
pushing
rapping.
50. He's pushing 50. Yeah, but Black Thought, he raps about different things. Right. His style of rap is about social change. His style of rap is about... day-to-day observations.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the regular guys, like the majority of dudes that rap about hip hop stuff, they rap about the hardships of being poor as shit, the hardships of having to deal drugs, the hardships of living in a violent world because you don't have any other way to live. Mm-hmm. And how long can you live?
Right.
How long can you rap about that stuff
if you're not living?
What Kyle said is, how long can you rap about that stuff and make a career out of something that you've been away from for 10
long,
years?
Yeah, yeah.
20 years?
Yeah.
It's true.
So that was his, like, Eazy-E thing was, like, what would
how
he
relevant.
Be doing?
Yeah.
What would he be doing?
Especially in the music.
Well, Eazy never wrote his own rhymes.
Right.
So he would, I mean, in defense, like, and that's a whole debate, like, if you write your own shit or not, are you a good MC? But Eazy never wrote his own rhymes, and it was all about his voice.
Right.
And I loved his voice. That's why
too.
I loved it when
me
I was
too.
A kid. So,
yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
too.
Just a little
yeah.
back at you, you know what I mean? Like, well, his voice sold and his voice was awesome. So whoever wanted to write it, you know, like same with Drake. Drake doesn't write his own shit.
Because what was
and
the biggest...
everybody likes Drake's voice, you know? I mean, Easy had the voice. So
his voice is so iconic. I 100% agree with you, Joe. Like his voice was the draw.
Yeah. And Jerry Heller knew that. Like, okay, I got the dude that can produce, the guy, the dudes that can write the rhymes, but Easy's got the voice.
Right.
I'm wrong with
Easy.
Yeah. You got the voice.
He had the charisma.
He had the charisma and
he
the
did.
Voice and he had the money.
I mean, Cube had the in-your-face style, which was awesome. But, I mean, Easy just had that thing where people wanted to be around him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He was a quiet dude at points, but he got on the mic and he opened his mouth. It was like, oh,
but
shit.
That's a good point. What could he rap about? He never wrote his own shit. So.
Right. Yeah, because
here's a guy writing stuff with Eazy-E's awesome voice. And
we
would all the nostalgic fanboys like ourselves.
Yeah.
We would love it and eat it up.
Yeah, because it was his style.
His style. But then him being a businessman, he would have had his hand in
anything and everything that's making money. I mean, you can name it, yeah.
Like, and if Dr. Dre and Ice Cube never left and, like, Eazy-E, you know, the whole what if, like, who knows the empire of Ruthless Records and what it could have been. You know, everything happens
for a reason.
That's
what's crazy. Like, the record company business like that, like, with their... own independent, I guess you would say, when they start off like that, because you got with the Death Row, No Limit, all that, they only last so long. All of them. These major companies are the one that run it. It's almost like they already know, like, okay, go ahead and, you know, start a record company. But they're like,
well, we're gonna buy you out, or we're just gonna drain you.
Yeah, you guys we'll make money off you. Guys ain't gonna last long, and we'll go to the next person. This is what it is. Now, that's the only thing I can give to Suge Knight about doing that, because they made an awesome empire of Death Row with their artists and building it and doing everything for themselves. But Suge just was really a gangster, and it was like all that money went to his head. And did you watch the bio with what was that on HBO?
Yeah,
about him playing football with like the Kennedys or whoever and all that stuff. Like, he went to college.
He was a smart guy. He was a very good business guy. I'm just saying his street intimidation and tactics, it doesn't work in the white collar.
Right.
Sony business room deals. Like,
I mean, look at, I mean, even look at Dame Dash, same thing. Like, he was like, yo, like, we're going to, what it is, it's like, you're either going to go with them or not. You know, so some people, they.
But yeah, man, really, really enjoyed this discussion. This is a great episode. This is my, good friend Mike Barth over here. Hip hop extraordinaire, hip hop historian. Because we've had we've had many conversations like this, and I keep telling him, like, dude, you need to write a book.
I don't know about going that
far. No, you do. You do. You have your knowledge, and I know you have your references. But you seriously need to write a book about.
I do try to keep up, because even with people that.
NWA history, because I remember you gave me some feedback, like, from when Kyle and I were on the show, like, what'd you say, like, Easy wasn't a Grape Street Crip, he was from
Kelly Park.
That's like my bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got the wrong street, but you know, that's why I'm saying, like,
him and Ren,
fact checker.
Easy's very well read.
I don't know, dude, like, I totally appreciate it. I mean, when you were like, yo, come on here, I was like, at first I was kind of like, I know music, but.
Yeah, I wanted to do hip hop. I know how we've always meshed.
And that's what it's all about. Right now, which I'm enjoying, it's almost like I can go all day doing this.
We can go all day.
You know what
I'm
saying? It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, even hearing the previous ones from you, Kyle, and everybody else, I was like, wow, like, listening to it, I was like, he's really doing this. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, we're having fun. And a shout out to Shretton over here.
He
is the best producer in the region. And if you don't think so, you better check the numbers. What are you at today? Like, how many have you produced in the last 3 months? What are we at right now? Like, what are you at with all of the Green Door affiliates? Like, how many have
we're at produced? 5 shows. We'll be at 10 in about a month and a half, and then keep it going. But we are.
You're going to have 10 shows in a month and a half?
Yeah, we're.
What?
Yeah. Surprise, Joe.
Say what?
But we're pushing 60 hours of content. Wow. That we, like, if you get online, I mean, you already have over 10.
Yeah.
You're pushing 12.
Right.
So just show. So it's just, it's a silly number to profess, but I mean, we have local voices talking about all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
And I appreciate everybody that wants to talk about the things they like to talk about, because we've been lucky enough that everybody's been good at it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there who would love to come here and talk to you about music.
Music.
Because everybody, everybody. Who don't like music?
That's what we're going to do, exactly. Music's thing. Like, I don't want to talk politics.
I don't want to talk sports.
I mean, I
might dabble into it, but the main focus.
Yeah, the main focus is music.
Music, to me, brings us together. It does, you know what I'm saying? It's like
the songs that make us laugh, the songs that make us cry,
I remember
the songs
that song,
change my life.
And they'll give you a fun fact about it. Man, I even know that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys one question to close out the show.
All right.
And it's a question about female MCs.
Okay.
This is being recorded. And millions of people will hear it.
Right.
All those million subscribers.
Your number one female MC. Go. Mike, you go first.
Nicki Minaj, man.
Crickets.
I'd have to say, Nicki Minaj. I mean, back in the day, it was Lil' Kim. But
yeah, I'd have to say old school Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Junior Mafia. And then that one single she had, like, Crush on You.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, yeah, back in the day.
Had Lil Caesar on it.
Yeah, back in the day, Lil' Kim. Now, obviously, now times change, at least a little bit more females.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Jesus.
Female, my favorite female rapper of all time.
If you say DeBrat, I'm going to jump through the window.
Dude, I liked her
when I was a kid.
I love, you know what? And I loved her because she was on that Gangsta Tip with Funkified and all that. Loved it.
What was the other...
She was.
Foxy Brown. I like Foxy Brown.
Foxy,
back in the day. But what was the other? I can't remember.
Had a little
her
Foxy
name.
Brown phase. She was hot as
she had the Il Nah Nah.
Yeah, publicly. But to me, there was like a really
smooth.
There was like a 6 months when I was like,
you wanted to rub her down in some chocolate milk.
I just want
to
say hi. Talk to her for a little bit.
I know she was with Corrupt.
Ask her to be your friend. Ask her to be your friend on Instagram.
I just wanted to
slide into her DM.
You know she went deaf too.
What?
She went deaf for a while. Yes.
Where are you getting this information? Really?
I can tell you
how though. It just happened.
Whatever, hereditary or from the music business, whatever. But at the same time, Mace was leaving.
You know who I liked? Who? MC Light.
And I was thinking about her.
MC Light. That's probably my favorite. I had to really dig in this head of mine.
Yeah, but what about...
Who else?
What about Easy's group?
JJ Fad? They're all right.
Supersonic, bro.
Supersonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to. You know what?
Eminem took it off.
The Lady of Rage was tight too.
Oh yeah,
I rock rough and stuff with my Afro puffs.
Yeah,
and she was good on.
And they're still putting out music.
Really?
Yeah, I just seen her. Her Daz, I think Corrupt and MC8 with DJ Premier.
Really?
I swear to God. Yeah.
Damn, Lady of Rage.
Sounds like a good group to get to the art theater.
But yeah, it does. But yeah, I would have to say it's MC Light and Lil Kim. Older Lil Kim.
Lil Kim's mine.
I'd say older Lil Kim. But now Nicki Minaj, man.
Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, they give a big shout out to Lil Kim. And you know what? Gangsta Boo, I had to think. Gangsta Boo is good. She's raunchy.
Yeah, she
all these
is.
Like Nicki Minaj and Cardi B are like just stealing off of her raunchiness, because the verse she has on the Run the Jewels track on that record, like I blush. It made me blush.
I'll knock it off.
Seriously, it makes me blush. Just a little bit.
All right.
But
last thing. All right. Joe, talk about the YouTube channel, because we talk about a lot of different things, a lot of different songs, a lot of different groups. And because we can't get the permission to play these songs, our loophole is YouTube.
YouTube.
It's awesome. Joe made a YouTube. Joe, talk about your YouTube.
Yeah, check out my YouTube. Search Musically Meditated. Please subscribe. And then after you subscribe, you can go to videos and see all of our recorded episodes. But then go to, what is it, songs? Or no, playlists.
Playlist.
Go to playlists. And you can see every artist I'm talking about for every episode. So please go back, listen to the older, you know, recordings, because I'm always reviewing newer stuff of different genres, and I've made a playlist so you can check that out and listen to it, you know, and cross-reference, and whatever your feedback is, please send it my way. You could reach me at musicallymeditated@gmail.com.
Yeah, nice picture, by the way.
Thanks, man. That was a model shot.
Where was that at?
I don't know. Wallace, my friend Justin Wallace is helping me out with the Facebook page. So I'm on Facebook. You know, you can email me at Gmail. I'm on Instagram, but that's a personal account. I'm working on that to promote stuff too, you know, like with everybody.
Musically Meditated YouTube, musicallymeditated@gmail.com.
Right.
The Twitter is also the same.
It's Musically Med.
Yeah.
At Twitter.
Okay.
Or however, no, it's at Musically Med. That's where you can find me on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the best way to reach me is through the email. Yeah, but yeah, check out the YouTube, because that's the easiest way for you to listen, to stream, and everything.
And we're working on, I didn't tell you, we're working on a voicemail. So that way any joker can call in and leave.
Wow.
Limit is 3 minutes, which all that means is that
you get a random drunk rant.
If you get 3 minutes in, just call back.
Just call back.
Yeah.
I will. And, you know, say whatever you want to say. We need feedback. If it's constructive, send it. And if it's positive, we love it. All the ladies just form a line. Really, I really appreciate all the feedback so far.
Yeah.
But
we sit from our 40s.
And we were keeping it real tonight. We'll take some pictures here.
You forgot to mention our sponsor.
Our sponsors tonight. We have it's a very rare type of Corona. It's called the Familiar. 40 ounces. We have the paper bags rolled up. Shretton,
we were looking for.
What's that?
The OE. But
we were looking for Old English, but
she was like,
they didn't have that at Sun Liquors. We do have this crazy tequila.
Espolón.
Where did you get that?
Reposado. You can find it everywhere. The label is awesome. It's got a lot of Day of the Dead
really?
Themes.
Because I've never seen it.
I know. I've never. That's why I caught
and
my eye.
This one? And that's supposed to be the cheap one.
That's a cheap one?
High quality cheap shit.
And it tastes good, don't get me wrong, but I've never, if you say it's been everywhere, I've never
seen it.
Yeah,
tequila?
Well.
Tequila?
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, thanks for that. We have Schlitz.
Schlitz.
Yeah.
Shout out to Schlitz. They're the biggest sponsor. We got a six pack of that.
That's cooling an ice bucket in the back.
Schlitz all the way from Milwaukee. Thank you for your endorsement. Everybody, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, for sure.
Musically Meditated. Adios. I'm Musically Meditated.
That's right.
I'm Musically Meditated. That's right. I'm Musically Meditated.